Well, good, because I hope you continue that joy, even as I tell you that Pastor Lee's not here tonight. But I'm going to get an opportunity. Will you give me a chance tonight? Will you give me a chance? Now, this subject, I don't know what it is. Am I loud out there, or is it just me? Am I loud? Okay, I could be a little bit loud. One minute, thank you so much, Evelyn. This is Pastor Appreciation Month, by the way. And we did this last year, and it was really impactful for Pastor Lee, I think, and also for Ryan and Esther. But what we're going to do is the last Sunday of this month, we are going to, we're going to hijack after worship the service for a minute. We're going to honor Pastor Lee and Jackie and Ryan and Esther. Ryan and Esther have been faithful and sticking in there with the youth for some years now. We had a transition, I don't know how many years it was now, where the youth pastor that was here, and he was impactful. His wife got pregnant, and they moved back to Ohio where her family was, which is understandable. But Ryan and Esther kind of took over in a place where there was a real transition, and it had been a real work of labor for them. They've had to really be faithful. They've had to be patient. Well, now we're starting to see the fruit of that. After several years, the youth is growing. Ryan and Esther are growing into that position, and they're doing an awesome job. Amen? Hey, those are not just our future leaders of the church, but Revival, that's our leaders for today. At the high schools, junior highs, colleges, really the Revival starts with those young people. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you can't leave us older folks out as well, but really that passion and that energy for Revival really takes place in those young people. So what I'd like to do, if you're willing, is what we're asking, if you can give any kind of cash gift, we're going to give that to Ryan and Esther. We're going to get a good-sized card. We'll sign it. We'll give them a God bless. We'd like to give them a cash gift just our appreciation to them. I think they're very much worthy of it. Amen?
Amen.
So if you can do that, and we do this, we've been doing this every year, just whatever you have on your heart, you can either give that money directly to Evelyn. Evelyn, raise your hand. Or you can also earmark it and run it through the church. We'll make sure that it gets to them if you'd like to have that for credit, for tax purposes. But if we can do that, and at the end, the last Sunday of the month, then we would really love to honor them and bless them. And tonight, we're speaking on Christian philosophy. My name's Chad, and then this is my wife, Gina. We've been going to this church this month 8 years, and it's amazing, amen, it's amazing what God has done me and my wife's life. And I won't go into much detail, but I can tell you we arrived here 8 years ago really broken and downtrodden and bruised. Nobody maybe on the outside could see that, because on the outside things seemed to be good. But on the inside, there were some real struggles and some real disappointments and some visions and dreams maybe that had been laid to rest, saying, too bad those things aren't going to come to pass. Too bad it's too late. Too bad that time for what you could have done in my life, God, what you could accomplish has now gone to the wayside because of my mistakes, because of things that have happened in my life. But once we came to this church and we started hearing with fresh ears the gospel of grace, amen? Spending all those years saying, if I could just get my ducks in a row, God, you could use me. And you know what? You get those ducks in a row and then something would hit the pond and then you start over. Well, you never get there. You never get there. So we had kind of given up anything about ministry or God using us in any way, shape, or form. And so we came here and we just started listening to the message afresh and anew of grace. We started seeing Pastor Lee's heart towards people. You know what I love about Pastor Lee? Can I brag on Pastor Lee a little bit? Because he means a lot to me. He's a good friend of mine. Is regardless of where you're at in the economic scale, regardless of where you're at on what side of the tracks, I love that Pastor Lee treats all people the same. I'll never forget, it's been maybe 5-6 years ago, during a midweek service like this, a gentleman came in, long, stringy blonde hair. He had just one leg on crutches. I don't know this guy's story, but all I know is after the service, Pastor Lee just, boom, right towards that guy. And I just never forget it. Never saw him again. I don't know his story, but I just remember as Pastor Lee was talking to him, and then I saw Pastor praying for him, and then I could just see tears just falling down this man's face. Didn't know his story, but obviously broken, looked like what society would throw to the side, what could he offer, right? What could he offer a church in his situation? But seeing Pastor Lee, how he ministered to that guy, it's one of those images I will never forget. So I'll be glad. I'm honored to honor Pastor Lee and Jackie at the end of this month, and Ryan and Esther. Would you do that with me? And I know it's a boost for them. Being a pastor, and I'll get off this subject. But being a pastor, when you're close with a pastor, you see what they go through. It's so much more beyond Sunday mornings. The calling of being a pastor is not easy at all. There's a lot of stress sometimes. There's a lot of strain. There's a lot of heartbreak. There's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that people don't know that can be really discouraging at times. Because does not the enemy want to, what's that scripture? It says, strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. Amen. So that's what Satan would like to do. So being a blessing to him. Sometimes it's easy to just bring up the negative of what's going on in a church, to bring it up to a leader. But let's make sure that we mention some positive things and understand that leadership is not perfect. They're humans. It could disappoint us. I've learned to go past that and understand that people have weaknesses, even pastors. And to say, I'm going to love and support this church regardless of all the mistakes leadership makes. And the thing is, as soon as I became part of leadership, well, gosh, there's going to be some mistakes for sure. There went the perfect thing, right? So bless, what a blessing it is to be part of Chino Valley Family Church. Me and my wife have been living out here now about 5 years, give or take. Never thought we'd be living in Chino. Never thought we'd be going to church in Chino. My niece was saved in this church. Brittany, who's not here, she says, would you come visit my church? And I said to her, I love telling this story, I do not want to be a cowboy. Because my mind is, if you join a church, religion says whatever leadership is, you got to become that. If they golf, you got to become a golfer. If they do this, you got to become that. Well, I didn't want to become a cowboy. Now, I don't have any problems with cowboy. My dad's in the cowboy world, but I'm not a cowboy, right? So I thought, I said, I'm not a cowboy. And then she asked me again, and I said, look, Brittany, I do not want to be a cowboy. And then after time went on, we finally came and visit, and I'll never forget it too. I sat next to a guy, I don't know how long. It wrecked my world to what my Christianity was. There was a man, a young man, who's still in our church. God's using him in the youth. But he was from a tough home. His hair was just a mess. His clothes were a mess. I'm sitting right next to this guy in church, and I realized, this is church. Lord, this is the type of people that you reach out to. Who followed Jesus when he was on the earth wasn't necessarily the well-groomed and well-put-together. Obviously, that they were repelled against that. It was the hurting that were drawn to Jesus, right? Amen? And so it dawned on me that was my first step when I was next to that individual, and I realized, Jesus, this is who you came to seek and save the lost. This individual right here, this young man, means as much to you as anybody here, and that was the beginning of the process for me. And the last thing on this before I start teaching, and about 6 months into that, me and my wife were walking through Sam's Club, and all of a sudden I feel the presence of God, and then all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me and said, you're going to be involved in that church more than you think. And that was all he said. And that started the process. So we started helping clean the church. We were so overjoyed that what God had done after carrying years of a burden, that we just, where could we help? So that was the process of starting to help wherever they needed help, not really realizing I would be here, whether it's just this is the first time or not, I really don't care, but not realizing, yes, doing what I'd never thought I would have done because I'd given up any kind of dreams like that. Amen? Aren't you glad that even regardless of your age or what you've been through, God is the God of another chance and another chance and another chance, and he desires to use his for his glory. I believe that we're most satisfied, not because you're behind a pulpit, but God made us all for a purpose outside even what we do for a living to glorify him. And when we're walking in that capacity, that's when we are walking in the most joy in our lives, I've come to realize. Amen. Not when I'm making the biggest checks. Not when things are going perfect in my world, but when I'm saying, Lord, use me. What is it? No matter how small or big, I'm here for you to use me. That's when we're the most joyful. Amen. Christian philosophy. Now, I had an opportunity to teach about 4 different subjects during Bible school this past year. Really enjoyed it. really enjoyed teaching many of the subjects, but when it came to Christian philosophy, which I taught for about 12 weeks, this was the most impactful book. As I studied it, as I looked into it, as I started just letting the Lord speak to me, it challenged me, and I started realizing I had some blinders on in some areas, so it turned on the light bulb in some areas of my life, Christian philosophy. So I'm really going to stick real closely. Pastor Lee, I know, has gone. Have you got, who went to Bible school, by the way? Who went through this at Bible school? Just a couple, just a few of you. And then also, who has the book? Has anybody been reading the book? Have you guys found, do you like the book? Kind of stir some, kind of thought-provoking. Amen? It really is. So I'm going to take some phrases and sentences out of the first couple of chapters. I won't reference the pages because I've got an iBook, and I come to find out it's nothing like the paper book, so it was really tough to reference pages. But it started out at everyone has a philosophy. That's chapter one. This is the first sentence. Everyone has a philosophy, whether you realize it or not. A philosophy is simply the basic set of ideas, beliefs, and values that you live by. Now, when you take a look at these a little bit, when we talk about ideas, beliefs, and values, what do we think about ideas? What does ideas mean? Well, it's mental understanding. It is thoughts, our thoughts. Awareness or activity. It's also creativity, ideas. If you go somewhere where there's a big skyscraper, you say, wow, look at that work that's been done. Look at that huge skyscraper, that huge bridge that was built. Did you know that all started with an idea? A simple idea is, say, of a skyscraper or a bridge. Think of a bridge, a huge bridge. And that started with an idea. And from that idea, that turned into something that was built. But ideas are very powerful. And let me just say, I won't get off course here, but ideas, as born-again believers in Jesus Christ, the Lord loves giving us ideas. Amen. Because he's made us a people of creativity. Do you agree with that? Amen. And it starts with ideas. How about beliefs? So we're talking about philosophy, which is ideas, beliefs, and values throughout that entire book. Beliefs, which are opinions, conviction, confidence in the truth, or what is perceived as truth, or the existence of something, and faith. So we have those ideals and those beliefs, and then it's wrapped up in values. And values is very key, because tell you the truth, ideas and beliefs do not get anywhere without values. And let me explain. Values are relative worth, merit, and importance. So let's look at this first as far as relative worth and importance. What do you think of yourself as far as worth or relative importance? What do you think of yourself about that? Realizing a lot of people, depending on how they're raised or the experiences in life, at the core of themselves, they really don't have much self-worth. May not even like themselves or love themselves. They may look like it on the outside. They may strive. They may work an 80-hour a week, your work week, to try to have some kind of importance, but at the root of it, they really have no value in themselves. And in the kingdom of God, the ideas and beliefs that we have will never act on if we don't give ourselves some value and self-worth. Many people don't step out what God has done in their lives or the ideals that God has given them because at the root of themselves, they have no self-worth. So the ideal remains a good ideal. The belief system remains a good belief system, but because of the value of what they think in themselves, it never gets launched. Value of yourself, a good self-worth, knowing that you're not perfect, you may have a rough past, it doesn't matter, but knowing that when you're purchased with His blood, filled with His Spirit, you have great value because what God gave His very best in heaven to redeem us, amen? To make us sons and daughters of Christ. We are of great value. We were more precious than gold or silver or anything. We're going to spend eternity with them. But before that, God has placed things in us, ideas and giftings and abilities to launch out into. But if we don't have any value or self-worth in ourselves, we'll never even get off the shipping dock. Amen? In this day and age, I really think that people understanding God's grace, grace is not so you can remain in this kind of a pit of sin, whether it be addiction or secret sin. That grace is actually what allows you to see yourself as God sees you, to get unsnared from those things. Many of the things I think that we struggle with is because of really at the root a self-worth issue. Amen. Are we highly valuable in God's sight? Amen. He loves us. He gave his best. He's called us to accomplish things. There's things in each one of us that maybe we don't even know yet, regardless of how old or how young you are. God is always wanting to launch new things out of us based upon what he's placed within us. And we're going to talk more about that a little bit later. And so we talk about these ideas, beliefs, and values that we live by. It's your outlook or the filter through which you view life. And I started thinking about that word outlook. And so outlook, the view or prospect from a particular place. Mental attitude or view. Is attitude good? I mean, important? I mean, even on Monday mornings? Amen. Everybody love Monday mornings here? I've been telling myself that for many, many years just to get there. I love Mondays. Fridays means Monday is on its way. Amen. So outlook, the view or prospect from a particular place. And I love synonyms of words, because synonyms, am I saying it right? I think I am. Synonyms of words can expand on it. Because if you look at Greek words, we try to give the definition of a Greek word, but it really, in the English language, sometimes it's very difficult. I've come to realize with words, if you'll look at synonyms, you can really get the understanding of what a word means. So let me tell you what outlook, some of the synonyms of outlook. I think it's important. I think it's impactful. I think it can kind of give us a peek of what God wants us in philosophy, or how a philosophy affects our outlook. Amen. So synonyms, attitude. So let's look at this attitude. God has given us the spirit of joy, so an attitude of not only gratitude, but an attitude to say, Lord, regardless of what the situation looks like, I can go forward in what you've got for me, what you've called my church, right? Because we're living stones separate. You put those together, those living stones, you have the church, amen? So God has given us separate individual identities, but he's put us together as the body. So attitude, direction. This is your outlook, based upon your outlook being taking place or happening, our outlook being being based upon ideas, beliefs, and values. And so that outlook, direction, perspective, what our perspective is, amen, based upon what we believe about ourselves, what we believe about our church, what we believe about what God's doing or not doing in this world today, can have a powerful impact in our lives. I can't remember who said this, but I love this. An individual said, if the world was going to end tomorrow, I would plant a tree today. If the world was going to end tomorrow, I'd plant a tree today. I think that's a perspective. That was that individual's outlook. Perspective. How about viewpoint? What your viewpoint is, your outlook in life, your viewpoint, your vision. I think of that scripture. It says, my people perish for lack of vision. It wasn't necessarily just a lack of vision. It was also a wrong vision, a wrong understanding of what God thought about the children of Israel. We'll look at a scripture a little bit later that God had believed the lies of the enemy, that God had given up on them. But it was not true at all. Our vision, our angle, how we look at things. You know, there's several different angles you can look at things through a philosophy. And our angle isn't always the perfect angle or even the correct angle. There's different ways we can look at things as the body of Christ, and sometimes the way we look at things is through our giftings. I'll explain that a little bit later. Our mindset. What is our mindset? Our routine. You know what? A routine is not a bad thing. Sometimes having a routine and being in a routine with the joy of the Lord is what can help us to take that next step in what God has for us. Routine, being faithful in the little things. That is a very important part of our outlook. Standpoint, views, frame of mind, size of it, our outlook, the size. Expanding her horizons through Jesus Christ, through the Spirit in us. Sometimes we can get very narrow of what we think God wants to do in our lives and in our communities. Amen? God wants to do far and above more than what we realize. Not just, you know, as a church, but as individuals. Just being faithful in the small things. Realizing that it says in 1 Peter that he's given each one of us a special gift. And I've seen people run away from that because they're like, I don't want to preach. But that does not mean that you're going to preach. You're going to do something else that's just as important as behind any kind of pulpit or anywhere else where public speaking, right? God has something special for all of us. Amen? And it brings satisfaction in our lives, and it's very important for the body of Christ. Amen? We know that Paul talks about it when all the different elements of the body working together. It's hard to be a complete body with fingers or toes or feet missing. Amen? It's important that we have all the elements that God has placed within our lives to be a body together. No, philosophy is not to be confused necessarily with doctrine. Although doctrine has a lot to do with our ideas, beliefs, and values. I think of a story of Benjamin Franklin, one of the founding fathers of this great nation. And, you know, he was during a time where we had a lot of Puritans. You know, have you heard of Puritans? The ones that came over on the Mayflower, the ones that really helped establish this country in freedom of religion. But they had some ideals that were a little bit quirky back then. As an example, Benjamin Franklin, his father, who was a Puritan, he was a candle maker. And they believed at that time, they kind of had some of the old thinking from England that whatever class of people you're born in, that's where you were supposed to be. That's where God designed you to be based upon your families. If you were born in nobility, then you were going to be in nobility. If you were a commoner, you were just going to be stuck there to do exactly what somebody else had decided you would do. But with Benjamin Franklin, as he began to grow up, he realized that, man, I've got more in me. I don't want to be a candlestick maker. Nothing wrong with that, but I just don't feel like that's for me. And so he ended up running away from home, and there's just a lot of fascinating aspects to Benjamin Franklin's life. But the thing I want to mention here is he invented the lightning rod, like in the 1750s. And when he invented that lightning rod so that when lightning would, what, hit the lightning rod and go down to the ground and what, not bring danger to a community or a residence by starting a fire, a lot of the clergy back then said, wait a sec, you can't do that. If that house is struck by lightning, that's what God wanted. That's what God wanted. And so they would allow a house to say a house is on fire. They wouldn't put the fire out. They would just make sure the houses around it wouldn't catch fire because they would say, well, that's what God wanted. So we have to let that house burn. But Benjamin Franklin said, you know what? I think God gave me this ideal so that there wouldn't be houses catching on fire. I actually don't believe what you're saying there. I think it's different. I think God gave me this idea to help people. And he had to overcome the prevailing thought. He had to overcome the prevailing philosophy of that day. It wasn't necessarily in any book, chapter, and verse, but it was the philosophy that much of the church had that day. So many times our philosophies may not even be based upon a chapter, like I said, or verse, but we still think it's something that's in the mind of God. Amen. So philosophy, if he would have went with the prevailing thought, he would have said, you know, that's right. Philosophy says, can't do that. But he went beyond that. Amen. The scripture says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. I think Pastor Lee mentioned this scripture. And vain deceit. After the tradition of men, right? After the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Not after Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You could say, not after the Word of God. Amen? So not after cross. It said, vain deceit, something empty or delusion, something that has, it really doesn't have any value, that really can't be a benefit, is what we're talking about when we say vain deceit. Amen. Every piece of information that comes to you and every situation you face is filtered through your philosophy. Yet many people are unaware of their philosophy. When you're not aware of your philosophy or what you believe, we tend to be blind. We tend to act out just based upon what we've learned or been taught. We don't even think about it. It's just based upon something that's in our background. We don't even realize or understand, is this something that's of the mind of God? Is this something rooted and grounded in the Word? Is this something that's pleasing to the Lord? No, it's just something that we go forward with because either society's doing it or we were raised and taught to think that way. Amen. I can think of many things. Me and Gina were talking about in the past where the denomination that we came from, you couldn't serve in any pastoral position if you had been divorced. Men's traditions, stopping things from people going, even people that weren't even born again when it happened. It's just crazy. But what it was a man's tradition, and it wasn't based and rooted in the Scripture at all, philosophy. They have never combined their separate beliefs. It talks about people, and this could be groups of people. They have never combined their separate beliefs into a single value system through which they view the world and interpret life. A lot of times people will have a philosophy that's not correct, and things will happen in their lives, and they'll say, that was God that did that to me. But it was really just sowing and reaping. It was a decision that individual had made. Amen? You think about the guy who may have drank considerably too much alcohol and gets a DUI, and he could say, that was God doing that to me, or that's God teaching me a lesson. But really, wasn't that just sowing and reaping? Just sowing what you have done? Amen. The laws of the land are in place to teach us. We can learn something from that, but because of philosophy or somebody's teaching, they think that was God's doing, but it was not God's doing. Our filtering system, our philosophy, always leads to the falling to some degree. Think about this. Think about yourself where you're at in this perspective. Maybe we're a little bit of both, but just think about this. So philosophy of our perspective to some degree. How about pessimism? The tendency to see, anticipate, or emphasize only bad or undesirable outcomes, results, conditions, or problems. The belief that evil and pain in the world are not compensated for by goodness and happiness. This outlook may lead to discouragement and even depression and giving up. Amen. Thinking of pessimism, it can come through philosophy. Well, any day now, this world is going to hell in a handbasket. And I don't say that there's not problems. I don't say there's not things that are heartbreaking going on around the world. But God is also called to have a hand to bring relief to those things. Amen. And it does not happen with pessimism. That's the giving up. That's not what God has designed us or actually put the Holy Spirit in our lives to do. But that comes through philosophies of more of the cup is half empty, right? Never half full, but always half empty. Then I love the scripture says, they kind of explain the mindset of Israel back in the time of Ezekiel. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, what is this proverb your people have concerning the land of Israel? What is it that the Israelites are saying? What is it that's on their mind? What is their mindset? What is their philosophy right now? And this is what they were saying. The days are long and every vision fails. When there's something like that where the days are long and every vision fails, what hope is there? Amen. So you can see where something that wasn't the mind of God, but it was the mind of people, but they thought it really had given up on God because they thought God had really given up on them. So their mindset and their philosophy is the days are long and every vision fails. Anything that God would show us is not going to happen. Have you ever had where God will start stirring your heart and wanting to do something in your lives, but the enemy will try to discourage you where you say, you give up on it and say, this will not happen. Or I thought, God, you were with me on this. Or I thought, Lord, that you were leading and guiding me, but it turns out that maybe you aren't. And then you can get baffled, discouraged, and give up. Amen. Who's doing that? That'd be the enemy, right? Let's go on and see about optimism. Everybody love optimism? Everybody walking in optimism? 24/7? Not so much, maybe. Trying? Amen. Amen. A disposition or tendency to look on the more favorable side of events or conditions and to expect the most favorable outcome. I think of that scripture too. All things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Amen. Do you believe that for your life? You know, if the Word says it, one thing I realized too is I started growing in God's grace that I started realizing, you know what? The Word of God is really true. It was something that I kind of didn't realize. I kind of added to my life. It even memorized scripture, but didn't realize if it said it, man, I could take that to the bank. Now, it might not happen in microwave fashion. The oven may be on 250 and the turkey's frozen, and they're saying, hey, this is going to cook, but it's going to take a while. Amen? But it's going to happen. The belief that good ultimately predominates over evil in the world. The belief, I think of that scripture, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? The belief that goodness pervades reality. This outlook looks for opportunity. And this is the scripture going back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 4. And I receive this scripture for myself and for you guys tonight. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Amen? He's not just doing that yesterday. Of course, we know 1,000 years is a day to the Lord. The day is 1,000 years. So something that might have been written 3,500 years ago is 3.5 days. Am I right in the math? So it's still relevant and for us today. Amen? Amen? Amen. Everyone has a philosophy whether they acknowledge it or not. Just because you don't acknowledge it is not true. Everybody believes something. And all philosophies produce fruit. All philosophies produce fruit. Your philosophy is a filter that determines how you act. And let me say, not necessarily good fruit. Just because somebody says fruit, it may not be good fruit. It's up to us. Not necessarily good fruit. An example, an ornament plum tree looks great, but the fruit is of no value. Amen? You've seen an ornament plum? We have a lot of them. Are you picking plums off of that and making plum pie or whatever? No. The fruit is no good. The fruit is no good. So sometimes the actions or our philosophy, the things that we act out on in our lives will produce a fruit that's not good, but it's not God. It's just something that needs to change in our understanding of the Word and in our philosophy. Amen? As we grow in the Lord, we start realizing that as the blinders come off and God starts revealing Himself, our thinking starts changing. We start realizing God is for us regardless of what's going on and that God is leading and guiding us and directing us. And He's the one that's going to bring those good things, those fruit from our inward man, those things He's planted in us are going to come forth and bear fruit. And what's fruit for, by the way? For eating? And others eat from our fruit. That's what it's for. Others get to enjoy the blessing and the things that God has placed in your life. Fruits for others to be refreshed from, to be encouraged from. And the fruit that you bear is going to look different than the fruit that I bear, but it's all God's fruit. It's all the same. It's all the same as far as important, and God has it for the body of Christ to enjoy. Amen? Isn't that awesome? So where does this philosophy come from that produces good fruit and optimism? Everything starts with a seed. Did you realize that when you see every living thing, including human beings here, we're adults, we started from a seed. Isn't that amazing? A tree, look at a tree, it came from seed, grass. Every living thing came from a seed. Did you know the Word of God is living? Yes. And active and powerful? Did you know, as we'll read through here, that the Word of God is a seed? It really is. Every idea starts from a seed, is a seed. It's a thought in your mind. It's a seed. Even our salvation comes from a seed. Let me explain. Well, let me not just explain, but read the Word. So we all have things planted in us from childhood, every one of us. Some good, maybe some bad, maybe a lot's bad. Or our experiences through the years, through our life, that can affect our judgment towards people or situations, how we judge a situation. It can even affect our quality of life in every way. Those things that have been planted in us. We don't realize you take two people and put them same, let's say they have the same great ideas, beliefs, But the values is going to be determined a lot of times by what's said to that child. One child is worthless. You can't do anything right. You're never going to amount to anything. Those are seeds planted in somebody's life. And you have someone else where the seed is truth. God's made you for great things. God's going to accomplish great things in you. God's got a calling on your life. These individuals grow up, but one has a very low self-esteem, values themselves zero, below zero. They feel like they're 6 foot underground already. They're the walking dead, basically, because God has designed us, made all of us to accomplish great things. Amen? And when you're not, when you don't have any value there in what you believe in yourself, you won't accomplish that. And the under individual getting the seed of the truth, it's planted in their soul, and it brings forth mighty fruit for the kingdom of God or for the betterment of mankind. Amen. So I think of the parable of the sower. Have you guys ever heard of that? Seed through words or written words. The seed through word or the written word of God. Luke 8, Jesus says, Now this parable is this. The seed is the word of God. And he talks about a sower throwing seed. Some of it landing on stony areas, and it just immediately was stolen by Satan. Others were thrown, and it got into very shallow ground, and it had a little bit of a root, but then it dried up and died. Another seed that was planted in thickets, and it was planted, and it began to grow, but the cares of the world, and it said the cares of riches, and somebody trying to do things on their own, it finally was choked out. And then it said the seed landed on good soil, and it took root, and individual said, God, I'm going to trust you with my life. And that seed began to grow, turn into a plant, and before you know it, began to produce fruit, basically starting by a word, the word of salvation. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As I declared that, did you know that's a living seed? And people sometimes with hard hearts, let's understand this too, as far as brothers and sisters in this church, let's be careful when we come to church that our heart's prepared to receive seed. I know what it's like to have some animosity or be upset towards somebody in church or for leadership, and it puts up this hardness, and the seed comes and it just bounces off. Not really paying attention, I'm here, but I'm not ready to receive because I've got some anger or resentment. There's some hardness in my life where that seed could take root. But you know, that's all right because God continues to speak to us. Maybe he's speaking to you right now as far as, is there some area of hardness in your heart that you need to just let go, forgive? Say, Lord, thank you for what you're doing in my life. You're going to work these situations out. Thank you for planting me in this church as if this is where God has planted you. Letting those barriers down and letting the seed land on the soil of your heart. Let the Holy Spirit, week after week, whether in your personal devotions, during a time of worship, during the preaching of the word, during communion, allow that the Holy Spirit to germinate that seed in your life to grow up and to begin to produce fruit. Unforgiveness, animosity, anger towards people or God can put this barrier up where that seed, bing, bing, doesn't land. It lands on hard soil. Let's be a people where we don't have a heart of hardness, where the seed, every time it's planted, everything that God's speaking to us, every time God is trying to do something, that begins to take root and produce fruit. Amen? Amen. Isn't that awesome? Yes. So forgiving and forgetting and loving and letting go and humbling ourselves, isn't that fun all the time? Absolutely not. But it's awesome when we really humble ourselves. And we realize when we humble ourselves because all of a sudden you can feel the barriers come down and you feel better. And you know your heart's ready for the word of God and for the seed of God. You know it's ready for God to speak to you again. You know it's ready for God to launch you out on something new and exciting. Amen. Parable of the sower. And then it says at 1 Peter 1:23, for you have been born again. This scripture, listen to this scripture. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, eternal, through the living and enduring word of God. Let me read that again. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. The word of God is seed. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. What's that mean for you? Because, you know, it could be because the word of God says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. So when you think of filthiness, when you think of this scripture, it doesn't mean necessarily what you mean it. You think it means. It could mean something totally different. Our self-righteousness is as filthy rags. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted. Wow, implanted. which is able to save your souls. The seed of the Word of God, germinating in the hearts and souls, allowing the Lord to continue to water that, not allowing the enemy to deceive us, not allowing the enemy to bring discouragement. I've learned that the hard way. Not allowing the enemy to bring unforgiveness or resentment, whether it be in a marriage or relationship or on a job or very much so in the church, between brothers and sisters and between your leadership and individuals serving in the church. Do not allow that. Seed through deeds or an action taken. What? Did I just say that? Seed through deeds or an action taken. Yeah, I did. And there's a powerful scripture to back that up. It's talking about money here. And this is from 2 Corinthians 9:10. We're talking about seed right now. Now he who supplies seed, that's who supplies seed. That's God. That's our Father. Who supplies our needs according to his riches and glory? Is that not God the Father? Amen. Now he who supplies seed to the sower, you and I are the sower, and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness, or increase those things that God has called you to do, or allow you to be even more of a giver because the seed he's giving you, you're sowing and helping others, being faithful and giving to your local church. I love it. That's not a bad thing. Doesn't matter what the world says. Not everybody's mistreating money. It's a good thing still. It's still in the scripture to be a sower. Amen. And God supplies and increases the seed of the sower. Let's be a church of dynamic givers. Amen. God will bless us for that. God wants to bless. How does he bless people? It's through us. A lot of times that check that arrived in the mail came from somebody else. People say, the check arrived in the mail, God blessed me. But somewhere it came from, amen? It still started out as seed somewhere. So let's be one of those people that give, whether it be in somebody's mailbox, giving to those in need, ministries, or tithing in the church, amen? So seed through deeds. So we have seeds of the Word and then seeds through our deeds. The Word of God is the only philosophy a Christian, as I wrap this up, Word of God is the only philosophy a Christian can anchor their heart to. Any teaching that doesn't conform to the Word of God is false. A lot of philosophies out there. Positive thinking, I understand that. But positive thinking without being born again is not going to, in the end, going to help you with anything. So anything that doesn't conform to the Word of God is false, no matter how popular it may be. You have to evaluate your philosophy and make sure it is based on the Word of God. Good seed. Living seed. Amen? And not on the philosophy of this world or the traditions of men. You know, in this day and age, we get a lot of seed. We get a lot of worthless seed from movies, from music, iPod, videos. There's always things being bombarded at us to, believe it or not, who is the God of this world? And if he can't take your salvation, if he can't take that, what he wants to do is he wants to take that seed that is meant for your life to produce fruit, and he wants to do that through discouragement or vain philosophy that will not help you in any way, shape, or form. So what we're listening to, it's always word, seed, seed. Being careful what we listen to, what we see, amen? Because it's a philosophy many times. The most important chapters in this book that we're going to read that I thought were most important is chapter 3 and 4. Is the Bible true? And how do we know the Bible is inspired? As I taught that in the Bible school, it just made me realize, wow, God, how precious is the Word of God. I didn't show this video or had this video tonight, but when we were teaching Bible school, I had a short video. It showed a underground church in China receiving Bibles and just the joy on their face as they grabbed these Bibles. They were like little kids that had never seen a toy, grabbing these Bibles, hugging these Bibles, kissing these Bibles, putting these Bibles against their chest. They were saying, wow, how precious is the Word of God? We've never had a Bible. We've had people that have had pages of the Bible or tell us, memorize scriptures people would give us, but we've never had our own Bible. That video was like, wow, impactful. Impactful. How precious is the Word of God, brothers and sisters? In this day and age, we live in the world where the philosophy of the world says the Bible is outdated. It's no longer relevant. But I want to tell you that that is the opposite of truth that is more relevant today than ever before. It's more important today than ever before. It means it's more powerful than ever before, because what the scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll raise a standard. He raised that standard through the written word, the Holy Spirit working through his word. Brothers and sisters, the word of God is more important today than it ever has been in the entire history. I believe that's true. How about you? The Bible is our authority in the life we live, how we live, how we believe, which is philosophy, and in the power, and it's the power as a believer. Let me read two scriptures. Let me give an example of biblical philosophy. We know that abortion is a big struggle right now as far as abortion is okay, abortion's not. Even in the church, there's sometimes confusion whether abortion is right in the sight of God, in the eyes of God. Is it murder? But let me just read from the Bible. Amen. My authority, and I hope, and I know your authority as well. Psalms 139. I want to read a few scriptures there. I think it's starting in verse 13. For you formed my inward parts. This is awesome. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wow, we are all, every one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. Psalms 139, verse 15. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all, this is powerful, brothers. Listen to this. And in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me. If that's not purpose, what is? When as yet there was not one of them, before the creation, the foundation of this earth, things that were ordained for you and I, brothers and sisters, still to come, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever the case is, until his return, God has purpose and things that he's made for us to do, as it says, that were all written the days that were ordained for me. That's powerful. And then how about power, knowing our power through the word of God? So right there is an example as far as philosophy, what God thinks about the unborn baby. How could it be more clear that unborn children are precious in his sight? I think of a story where not really debating, but talking to this gal about abortion. She says, I think it's a woman's decision. I think it's up to her. She wants what she wants to do. And I started talking to her. I wasn't even looking at her in the eye. And I started saying about, you know what? Abortion is murder. But you know what? Our God, that baby that's aborted is with him right now. And that woman just needs to say, Jesus, forgive me. He forgives them. And as I looked up, I seen her eyes filled with tears. And I knew right then that most likely that lady had had an abortion. But just saying, you know what, God, we'll forgive you. It's not about this right or wrong. I want to walk in truth. I've got to minister truth. It's got to line up with his word, not just with my thoughts or some dogmatic ideas. Amen. But through what the word of God says. I knew that when I had said that to her, that it hit something. Man, God wants to forgive the brokenhearted. He wants to forgive them. And then declaration of our authority in Matthew 10:8. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely you received. Have you freely received? Freely give. Matthew 10:8. That's a declaration, a doctrine, a philosophy of the power that God has given us in the body of Christ. Maybe many right now don't believe that anymore. It may not be popular, but that is the power that God has given us as brothers and sisters in Christ, the power to heal the sick, raise the dead. Amen. To preach liberty to those who are captive. Amen. Amen. Can you stand with me as we close in prayer? Thank you guys for your time tonight. Father, we just thank you, Father. We thank you for that our hearts are open to have anything in our lives that needs, Lord, that you want to correct. Any philosophies that don't line up with the Word of God. Maybe we learned them from the time we were young. Maybe they've come through experiences. Maybe it's based upon bad seed that was sown in our lives. But Lord, thank you that we have hearts that are open to living seed being planted in our hearts, bringing forth truth, bringing forth doctrine and philosophy that's pleasing to you, number one. Number two, because it's the truth, it's effective and powerful. We thank you for effective, powerful brothers and sisters in Christ, Father God, to declare the word, to walk in his power, to declare the forgiveness, Father God, to those that are broken, those that are downcast, those that are in sin, those that are ill, those that are bruised. We thank you that the blood of Jesus, the seed, the living word of God brings healing, deliverance, and purpose, Father God. We thank you for purpose in this room right now, Father God. Lord, there's many people out there that may be, Father, on the streets or caught in addiction. They've given up hope with what it is. They don't think they have any purpose. Lord, we declare purpose to those that are around us, Lord, as we have an opportunity, Father God, as we look at other people the way you see them, Father God, born for purpose, so many people that die without fulfilling purpose that they were born to accomplish. We thank you, Father God, for in our hearts and our lives, Father, to not only accomplish what you have for us, but to declare that to other individuals. We thank you for that, God, tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen, guys.